What's this? Good news about the PlayStation 3? I don't believe it. Plus, games are blamed for a lot of things, but this one takes the cake. All that and your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwell Show, week of July 23rd, 2006. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt. And
it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Catalarm, kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwolf back at DragonCon 2005. I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwolf.
And the question is, where were you 364 days ago? Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell, and we're going to reminisce a little bit about our history right here. Yes, 364 days ago today was the dreadful, overly loud episode number one of this show, live at 8 p.m. on Sunday, July 24th. And we have been doing this every single weekend since then. No breaks, no nothing. This is episode number 53. I'm just really happy that I have had the support that I've had and the listeners that I have had. We're not the most listened to podcast. We're probably one of the smallest listened to podcasts out there. Out of all the game podcasts, out of all like 500 game podcasts that are out there now. So I just wanted to thank those of you that are listening for the support. I know that we don't have a billion people on the show at once, and you know, it's really just me. It's just me on the mic, and you know, sometimes having some callers, sometimes not, you know, and just me and the chatters. And it's been a wild ride, and I hope to continue for many years more. Anyway, enough about that. Happy birthday to us, yada yada yada. If you are joining us live here on All Games Radio, you can go over to allgames.com and click on the chat button at the top of the page. If you're logged into the site, it'll automatically put your nickname into chat. If not, they'll tell you how to change your nickname in chat. And you can join us there and contribute to the show that way. Also, we will be opening up our Skype line, which is Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word, and our toll-free number is 1-866-880-0156. That is toll-free here in the United States. Also, if you're just listening to the podcast, and this is the 53rd podcast you've listened to, congratulations, you can call our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show, or you can email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, and you might hear your email read on the show. And as always, I do want to thank Kropotkin for providing the short UK news segment that runs just before the show goes live. It's available as a podcast feed for those who cannot tune in live. Check it out on his website, kropotkin.co.uk. You can find that link and many others discussed tonight on our website, bobbyblackwolfshow.com. Anyway, I'm going to try something different with this first story. Good news about Sony. Let's do this. Let us talk about good news about the PlayStation 3. How about that? Forbes has reported that Taiwan's Asus Tech Computer will deliver PlayStation 3 game consoles to Sony this month as the Japanese firm moves to step up output to meet demand for the Christmas shopping season, the Commercial Times reported without citing a source. The first consignment is for 4 million units, the report said, noting that monthly shipments will start at 200,000 units, rising to 2 million in October. Meanwhile, the report noted that Hanhai Precision Industry will soon begin making the PS3 consoles for Sony as well. So if they are already in production, that's good news. You know, because the Xbox 360 was not in production for until like 60, a little bit over 60 days before it hit the streets. And if they're already in production of the PS3 here in July, then there'll still probably be a shortage, but it's not going to be as bad as the Xbox 360. Now, how they allocate that across all those territories, I don't know. And Bloodshot says more likely those are dev kits. The dev kits so far are already out. I would think that these are, you know, either the real boxes or very close to the real boxes if they are just the dev kits. And, you know, I'm going to bring up something else that I actually didn't put in the show notes, but we saw this. It was posted on our forum. Sony has released finally an actual gameplay trailer of the PS3 of MotorStorm. And it doesn't look that bad. And, you know, there is some jaggies in it. And, I mean, that's something I noticed at E3, is that the PS3 still had very wonderful jaggies that we're all used to on a Sony console. But it actually looks pretty good. And, it looks like a game that I would really enjoy. And it's the first time that I've seen a PS3 game that I would actually enjoy. And that actually includes all the games that I did play at E3. So, you know, there is some good news that is pleasing to Sony fanboys. And T27 Duck says that this is more along the lines of neutral news rather than good news. The Wii has been production for a bit, correct? And yes, the Wii has been in production, supposedly, since last month. But also, the Wii is going to be launching earlier, so it kind of works out, but the Wii is probably cheaper and easier to produce. And Hitstun asks, MotorStorm, is that SledStorm with motors? And it's like a sequel to something on the PS2, but it's a dirt 4x4 racing game, you know, with dirt flying up everywhere and all that fun stuff. So there is your good news about the PS3. Don't ever say that I never said anything good about the PS3. There's a good trailer that's out that doesn't look faked because you can see the jaggies. And it actually looked pretty good. And it's also already in production, which means that they're going to have more units at launch than the Xbox 360 did. And that's it for Sony Talk for the night. We're 7 minutes into the show. So let's talk about some other good news about a company that we typically don't talk about good news with. A press release has stated that Infinium Labs, yes, you know where we're going with this, has announced that the company will launch its online merchant store on Tuesday, August 15th, to support the marketing and sales of the Phantom Lapboard on its website, phantom.net. They have commissioned Touchwood, a solutions-oriented, technology-based strategic marketing communications firm, say that 10 times fast, in St. Louis, to plan and implement major revisions to the design and content of the phantom.net website. The website revisions will incorporate direct marketing capabilities, including an online merchant store to support business-to-consumer and business-to-business transactions with credit card banking services, yada, 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 yada. Nowhere in this article did they say that they are going to be hiring shills to raid gaming forums. We have not had any yet on All Games, and I am not one of them. Even though people think that I am, because I actually do like the lap board. It's when the Phantom was at E3, I think it was 2 years ago. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before. It wasn't, definitely wasn't this year. I was more impressed with the lap board and actually using the lap board with the games than I was with the actual system itself, because the system was just a PC hooked up to a TV, really. That's all it was. You know, so I like the lap board, and I might actually get a lap board so I could actually play some PC games with a mouse and keyboard from my couch, you know, and see if actually PC game is viable on the couch, on the TV, because that's why I like console games, because I play them on the couch. And for PC games, I have to sit at my desk and my chair and all that stuff. And I want to be lazy. I'm an American, damn it. So I'm going to open up our Skype line and our toll-free number. Our Skype line, once again, is Bobby Blackwolf Show, which is all one word, and our toll-free number is 1-866-880-0156. Give us a call about anything we're talking about tonight, or anything you want to talk about in the gaming world. So All Games has reported about... let's talk a little bit about Nintendo here. Nintendo released an official statement to several DS Lite owners with cracks. Now, see, all of you early adopters of the second-gen hardware are now kind of getting screwed cosmetically, because apparently the hinge on the DS Lites will crack. And it doesn't affect the functionality. The screen doesn't swivel or anything. It's just cosmetic. But ironically, these scratches are in the same place on every DS Lite that gets scratched. And I'm looking here at my DS Fatty that I bought on launch day that everybody was afraid to buy because it was a first generation and Nintendo was going to release better versions. And, you know, I have no cracks on the hinge. And I've used this thing a whole lot. Most recently to get my ass handed to me by Hitstun in Tetris DS. Well, Nintendo has released a statement saying, quote, in the U.S., the reported number of small cosmetic cracks in the plastic hinge of the DS Lite systems represents less than 0.02% of the total units sold. This cosmetic issue in no way impacts the gameplay or integrity of the DS Lite. Nintendo stands behind the quality of our products and encourages DS Lite owners to contact our customer service department if they are not happy with the functionality of their systems." Unquote. Now, the key word here is functionality. Because the crack does not affect functionality. It's just a cosmetic thing. Now, Kotaku actually contacted Nintendo customer service considering their own DS Lite, and they reported this. Quote, "The customer service guy asked me about how the crack formed, and when I told him I didn't know, that I noticed it after reading about it on Kotaku," that was a nice plug for them, "he said that since the information is getting out there and going kind of wild, Nintendo has decided they're willing to take a look at DS Lites with cracked hinges. He stressed that usually Nintendo does not warranty physical damage to their cases because it is usually just cosmetic. I asked him what the process was, and he said they would send me out a UPS label, and once I shipped my DS Lite to them, they would look at it and make sure it wasn't caused by misuse. I asked them how they would figure that out, and he said that they would go in and make sure something wasn't tightened too tight, and if that was the issue, they would repair it and send it back to me in 2 to 3 weeks with a new one-year warranty." So, if you happen to have a cracked DS Lite and you didn't do it on purpose, you may be able to get them to replace it for you, but you will have to send it back to them first, and then they will send it back to you. It's not like the normal, like if you have a dead Pixel, they send you a new DS, and you have to send your DS back to them. It's a little bit different than that, since this is a cosmetic issue. T27 Duck says that he thinks it's from one of the particular factories because some of them have it and some of them don't. Chrisville 1724 says that the DS Fat is a tank. Truex asks, "Can they give you a black one?" I wonder if they would or not, but those are all just in Europe. Tiger Claw says, "Well, obviously, it's so light they can break easily." So, I want to take a little bit of time because I played a game. It's kind of been a slow news week a little bit this week. And I decided I'm going to talk about this game that I probably should have seen earlier, considering that I was covering the Independent Games Festival at GDC this year. But I didn't really know about it until now, and it's partially my fault. But it's a very interesting game concept, and you know, it'd be kind of nice to see if, you know, some other games adapt this concept. The game is called Narbacular Drop. At least that's how I'm pronouncing it. And it was designed by a group of students at the DigiPen Institute of Technology as their senior project in 2004 and 2005. Now, under the name of Nuclear Monkey Software, they were the winner at the 2006 Independent Games Festival Student Showcase and were a finalist at the 2006 Slam Dance Guerrilla Game Maker Competition. Now, in Narbacular Drop, you explore a 3D dungeon and overcome obstacles using this unique type of gameplay. Nonviolent, low-intensity, simple gameplay appeals to gamers of all ages and skill levels. The unique gameplay that they've used makes for a very fun and memorable game experience. Now, what gameplay am I talking about? Well, the player controls this princess character, who I believe is called Princess No Knees, lovingly, because she can't jump. She's been captured by this demon. The demon has trapped her in his dungeon lair, and the demon is Wally. Isn't that a great name for a demon? Wally. Wally is a sentient the dungeon is named Wally. Wally is a sentient dungeon and has the ability to open doorways in his walls. These doorways connect to each other, and any object moving into one doorway will come out of the other. Wally is resentful of his owner demon, and so he joins with the princess to help her escape. In exchange, she agrees to free Wally by directing his doorways to vanquish the demon. Now, this system is a technical feature that is demonstrated in a few games to date and really has never been the central focus of a game. The concept is these two interconnecting doorways that can be freely placed by the player. When looking into one doorway, the viewer sees out the other and can see themselves and vice versa. The added feature of moving through these doorways allows for many unique gameplay possibilities. Combining doorways with the basic physics simulation allows for a huge level of interactivity. Players can toss boxes, boulders, or even themselves around the dungeon. Players can come up with their own creative solutions to overcome the challenges in each level. The doorway interface is very simple. The left mouse button fires a blue portal. Oh, crap. Did I just say that word? Uh-oh. Chat's going to really go crazy in a second. It appears on the wall, ceiling, or floor in front of the player. The right mouse button fires a red doorway. Only one of each doorway can be opened at a time. This allows for a fast learning curve and low-intensity gameplay. It's a free download and is quite short. In fact, the fastest speed run is 1 minute 20 seconds for the entire game. But it's pretty fun to just play around in the universe. And people are telling me in chat that they've heard this before and that they are that they stole this from another company. And they're stealing this idea from a recent game. And, you know, I can't figure out what game that would be.
Certain objects may be vital to your success. If at first you don't succeed, you fail, and the test will be terminated. Wensta, remember our motto, there's a hole in the sky through which things can fly.
That's right. I let the word slip. But that was a part of the trailer for Portal from Valve Software, which came out that everybody said, you know, you guys just ripped off Prey. You saw Prey's portals, and you're just copying Portal. You're trying to get rid of... No, see, I think that they're copying Narbacular Drop, because Narbacular Drop came out before Prey, even though Prey has probably been in development since 1982. You know, I think they're stealing from them, and in fact, they are. And no, we're not talking about the G4 TV show from Dave, but this is the game, Portal. But according to a news post on NuclearMonkeySoftware.com, quote, yes, the entire team has been working at Valve for the past year on the recently announced Portal, unquote. So Portal, if you haven't seen what Portal is, it's got a hilarious training video, which is actually trailer of the gameplay. And it supposedly is going to take place in the Half-Life universe. But actually, what's interesting is most of the things that they show in the trailer for Portal, you can already do in Narbacular Drop. Now, it doesn't look as pretty. I don't remember. I couldn't tell what engine they were using. But you can actually go ahead and do some of that stuff. And I sat there in Narbacular Drop trying to recreate the entire Portal trailer, and you can do it pretty much. So if you want to see what Portal is going to be like gameplay-wise, go pick up Narbacular Drop. So it's from NuclearMonkeySoftware.com, but there's mirrors everywhere. And people in chat aren't sensing my sarcasm. So I'm going to reiterate that I know that Portal didn't steal from anybody, that they hired the guys that did it. So, I mean, I completely understand that, and there's a reason that I said it that way. So I'm sorry if it didn't come across too well. I shall try better next time. But yes, go check out this game. It won a couple of awards in the independent gaming scene, and it's great to see that they were hired by Valve and that they're working on a game. And I actually now am kind of hyped for Portal after playing Narbacular Drop. And, you know, if that's what they can do as students in college, I'd love to see what they could do with a real budget working at a, you know, big budget studio with the Source Engine. What I'm going to be doing right now is, like I said, it is a slow news day, news week, whatever, is we are going to take a quick music break, and is also we are going to be playing Chris Phil's tournament report, mainly because he does not claim that I am a whining baby in this one, so we're going to actually play it, which will contain some updates on the Bobby Blackwolf Partner Uno Challenge. I've got game soundtracks up for grabs, and we've got an announcement of another special type of tournament, and you can hear that here. After this music break, which we'll not be playing on the podcast, but we will be, you will hear the tournament update on the podcast. So you're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show on All Games Radio online at allgames.com.
This is Chris Phillips with your All Games Tournament Update. Captain Jesus was able to do what he said he could do all along. He captured the All Games Fight Night Round 3 Tournament Championship with a third-round knockout of Chrisville 1724 in the finals. The finals featured a matchup of Muhammad Ali versus Roy Jones Jr. and is available for download on the Fight Night Round 3 page on allgames.com. Congratulations to Captain Jesus, and thanks to everyone who participated in the tournament. The final two quarterfinal matches in the Bobby Black Wolf Partner Uno Challenge have been played. Team OCGN defeated Team Satan 1,045-902, and they will take on Team Kids, who defeated the Uno Champs in their quarterfinal matchup. In the semifinals of that same tournament, Loose Stool Water defeated Team Cold Sandwiches 1,026-433. Loose Stool Water will be taking part in the finals. They will take on the winner of Team OCGN and Team Kids. Moving on to the Tetris DS tournament, in 5 days, 5 of the 7 games have been played, all quarterfinals and 1 semifinal match has been completed. First off in the quarterfinals, Hitstun defeated Black Wolf 2-0. King K. Rool defeated Chrisville 1724 2-0. The Matrix defeated the Dandy Cage MK2 2-0. And finally, Red Leader 173 defeated the Raven 2-0. In the semifinals, Hitstun defeated King K. Rool 2-1. He will be taking on the winner of The Matrix and Red Leader in the finals. Finally this week, the All Games Sunday one-day tournament has been set for August the 6th. AllGames.com and the Arena Interactive Lounge will be running a variety of one-day tournaments. A list of what games will be played, registration information, and prizes will be available on AllGames.com very soon. This has been your All Games Tournament Update, week of July 14th, 2006. For more information on these or any other tournaments, log on to allgames.com.
Hello, this is Chris O'Regan, also known as Kropotkin, here with you once again with gaming news from the UK. Actually, no, it's not. It's not. No, this is the Bobby Black Wolf Show. I'm just messing with you. Hey! Oh, please yourselves.
Thank you very much, Kropotkin, and welcome back to the Bobby Black Wolf Show here on All Games Radio. If you want to send a bumper in like that, just call our voicemail, Bobby Black Wolf Show, or send me an MP3 file and I'll put some music underneath it. Just like, you know, say your name or whatever, and you know, whatever funny thing you want to do to say, well, you're back to the Bobby Black Wolf Show. Whatever, be creative. Impress me. I'm tired of playing the same ones over and over and over and over again. Yeah, the this one-day tournament is going to be happening on August 6th, and essentially what it's going to be is all rounds of the tournament are going to be played on that day, and we're still ironing out some of the details about which games are going to be played and all that stuff, but there may actually be some live stuff on All Games Radio related to the tournament surrounding this show. Like, we'll still be going on, but the tournament, the finals will probably be going on during our show and stuff. So, Keep a lookout on allgames.com for that, and we'll have what games are playing, you know, what the timing is and registration options and all that. It's going to all happen on one day in the and starting probably about noon Eastern, or actually really later than noon Eastern, like 3 p.m. Eastern, because I think it's noon Pacific or something. And that's when the first round starts, and then the second round starts when first round's done, so stuff like that. So if you want to call in, Bobby Black Wolf Show on Skype, or our phone number is 1-866-880-0156. And yes, 364 days ago, I started doing a show to probably half as many chatters, and we probably had just about as many topics, and we probably went just about as short as tonight's show is going to be, because we're going to be ending early tonight because there just isn't all that much stuff to talk about. But we are going to talk about people blaming others. That is kind of the theme for the next few stories that I have here. Blaming others. Now, GamesIndustry.biz reports that a British government energy review due out this week will claim that video game consoles are responsible for 70 million pounds of wasted energy each year, according to the Times newspaper. The report will highlight what has been widely known for some time, that consumer electronics devices are increasingly leaking energy at an alarming rate while in standby mode. Last month, a group of bloggers in the United States reported that while the original PlayStation leaked just 0.2 watts from accounting for some 1.752 kilowatts per wasted each year, I think that's the right translation of the acronyms, the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 2 both leak a massive 2 watts or 17.52 kilowatts per year. The energy review proposes a number of measures to minimize energy waste, including working with electronics companies to phase out costly standby routines that drain energy while the device is not in use. The review document is emerging in a politically charged atmosphere, with the debate over Britain's future energy generation and usage intensifying greatly in recent weeks due to controversial plans to build new nuclear power stations. As a result, the findings of the review are likely to be taken very seriously, but at present, the review remains just that, and there has been no indication of which, if any, of its findings are likely to be incorporated into future legislation. Even if the suggestion on standby modes is eventually phased into law in the UK, it's unlikely that this would happen for several years, meaning that none of the new generation of consoles would be affected by the law. Although the manufacturers may choose to voluntarily modify their hardware in order to bring it in line with the energy review recommendations. And we actually have a call, so I'm going to take this. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
Is this the famous Bobby Blackwolf?
No, this is just Bobby Blackwolf.
Oh, well, I'll take that. Hey, how you doing, Bobby? This is Sky from Orange Lounge Radio.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Not too much. You know, if I did my math correctly, I think tonight is your one-year anniversary show, correct?
Well, tomorrow night's my one-year anniversary. But yeah, 364 days.
You don't do a show on Mondays, though. You you just have the Sunday thing. So tonight's as close as you're going to get.
Yeah.
So I wanted to call in to say happy birthday.
Thank you.
From Orange Lounge Radio. And it's actually not just me here. Well, hold on. Let me hand you over to Loki.
He handed me the phone.
Hey.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man. Does it all go downhill from here?
No. Not really. You have to get into, like, you know, an episode 69 type of show, and then that's when it goes downhill.
I gotcha. Gotcha. Any tips? Any advice?
Any tips and advice? Drink lots of alcohol.
I need to go do that. I got some beer in the fridge.
Excellent. Here's Sky.
No, wait. You're not going to have the it's all downhill from here curse, are you?
Well, see, that's what I just asked. You know, does it all go downhill from here?
I don't think so. I know in the case of Orange Lounge Radio, we've been fortunate enough where things have been going uphill ever since around, like, episode 150 or whatever we started doing our podcast. Mm-hmm. So I think it actually keeps getting better the older you keep going and the more experience you have under your belt. So, but I have a question for you, Bobby.
Okay.
Since you've been doing podcasting for about a year now, what do you think is the biggest story that has hit the video game industry, besides Hot Coffee? That's too easy. Besides Hot Coffee, what would you say, in your experience having done a year's worth of podcasts, is the biggest story that you've covered?
The Xbox 360's rise from mediocrity.
Ah, so kind of like how Xbox sort of started with that stigma of, oh, it's not really a console for everybody, it's only for the people who are into sports games and 3D shooters and stuff, and it's kind of, you know, thanks to Xbox Live Arcade and things, it's kind of climbed up over the year.
Yeah, I mean, well, basically, when we first started talking about it, we're like, it's Microsoft, they're going to screw it up, they're going to, you know, not have any fun games, and then, you know, just as things have gone on, we found less and less bad things to say about Microsoft. Yeah, there's still some bad things, you know, about Microsoft that we could say. You know, there's some, they dropped the ball on Xbox Live Arcade for a few months, but overall, just, you know, people really have been, I've been shocked at how well people have taken to the Xbox 360.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I was one of those people when the very first Xbox came out, I said, I'm not going to get one. I'm not going to buy a Microsoft console. Ew. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to buy that. I'm never going to support Microsoft, and sure enough, what do I do? Buy an Xbox. Pretty awesome. Maybe I didn't love it as much as my PS2, but now with Xbox 360, it's a great system. And a lot, you know, E3, they had a great E3, and a lot of the stuff that's coming out soon is really exciting. So it's really hard to talk shit about Microsoft anymore.
Yeah, it really is.
It's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny because if you ask me the same question to go the other way, which news item would I say is the biggest? I would go the other way, and I would say Sony going from, you know, totally loved company in the gaming universe to totally getting shat on in the scope of 30 minutes after their E3 press conference.
Right.
I mean, what a tumble they took with a lot of their announcements at E3. It's going to be so hard for them to recuperate. And as somebody who still likes a lot of the franchises that show up on the PlayStation, like Metal Gear, Final Fantasy, I kind of hope they can come up with something, but it's getting so hard to be optimistic anymore. It just seems like the bad news keeps on coming, and the CEOs at Sony won't shut their mouths, and it's just awful.
Yeah, well, that's why we did the good news segment on Sony earlier. They're in production, apparently, or they're starting production this week.
I heard about that. So it's hopefully looking like maybe the shortages won't be all the doom and gloom that people are saying, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be
interesting.
Hopefully
they learn something from Microsoft.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I guess, you know, that's probably the corollary, you know, because Microsoft shot up, Sony had to go down, You know, there's really only room for one at the very top. So.
Well, then how does Nintendo factor into it all? Because they're such a wild card right now. They could fire past, you know, Nintendo and Sony a lot. Or, I mean, they can't fire past themselves. Fire past Microsoft and Sony. You know, a lot of non-gamers or casual gamers that I've talked to are really, really excited about the Wii when they may not have been the biggest of Nintendo 64 or GameCube supporters. They are really excited about the Wii. A lot of casual gamers I talk to, it could be very interesting what happens.
And if that happens in 364 days when you call in and ask me the same question, I'll say it was Nintendo's leap over Microsoft would be the biggest story.
Absolutely, absolutely. I couldn't argue with that.
So tell people about your show real quick.
All right, well, it's a little program called Orange Lounge Radio, and we actually play our rebroadcast Monday nights on All Games Radio, and I believe it's 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, unless Scott and Lawrence decide to run long. We won't talk about that, no. No, we love being on All Games, even when we're a few minutes late. It's awesome. We actually do a bonus segment that you can only hear on allgames.com, or when we originally do it over on orangeloungeradio.com, we tape on Sunday nights, and of course you can grab our podcast from the feed over there, but there's also a very, very spiffy page on allgames.com dedicated to Orange Lounge Radio that you can, like, get all our shows right from there.
Yep.
So it's great. Check it out.
Thank you for calling in, and thank you for the well wishes, man.
Not a problem. Happy birthday to you, and here's to 50 more episodes and another year and another phone call in a year.
Woo-hoo.
And E3 Outpost 2007.
Exactly. E3 Outpost 2007 Electric Boogaloo.
So I'm down with that. See you then.
See ya. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype. 1-866-880-0156 is our number. It's just like that. That's how easy it is. On orangeloungeradio.com, they're a really great podcast. They're really great bunch of people that were on some of my E3 Outpost shows and everything, so it was all good. And what was funny when I was saying that, Gita was saying that I should stop talking about the 360. Next thing I know, there will be a poll on the forums calling me a fanboy, and I never, you know, I always say that I'm a Nintendo fanboy, and that's just the way I am, and a lot of people dispute that because I do say good things about Microsoft, so I can't be a Nintendo fanboy, but you know, I do really want to see, I mean, I would love to see the Wii catapult past the Xbox 360. I just don't see it happening. I see it becoming, you know, being close, but I see Microsoft being on top and Nintendo being second. And actually, Sub-Z says the Wii's graphics look like crap and people's arms are going to get tired. I was excited about the Power Glove too. It could wear off quick. And that's one of the things that I noticed when I was playing it at E3 is that for many of the games, my arm barely moved. It was all just twisting my wrist to play a lot of these games. My arm barely moved, and I had my arm at the same place where I would be holding, like, a PS2 controller or a PS3 controller or whatever, you know, in these kiosks. And I was holding the Wii controller just down there, exactly where I would be holding a normal controller, and I was rarely moving my arm. So I don't think that's going to be as big of a problem as people think. Yes, there are going to be some games that do require arm movement, but not the majority of them. We just finished talking about one thing that they are going to be, that people are blaming about England, blaming game consoles for their energy consumption. And, you know, there's actually a thing going around that, you know, the Wii, talking about the Wii, their Wii Connect 24 service, which downloads game demos to your Wii overnight over your wireless internet connection, that would not be allowed in England because of these power consumption saving methods or whatever. And actually, Mako, who was in chat earlier, he's not here now because it's like 5 in the morning or now it's like 2 in the morning or something. He said, you know, when I said, yeah, we're talking about this, he basically said, I'm paying for my electricity. Why can't I have my consoles on standby? Why are they going to tell me I can't do that? You know, when he pays for the electricity, and he proudly pays for the electricity for these consumer electronics. So that was one thing that people are blaming on. But this one is something that this is a really weird blame game that is being played right now. This was an article that was actually posted to our forums, but this was from Nick Golston on behalf of the Knoxville News Sentinel. Now, he penned a very thought-provoking and eye-opening editorial, and this really discussed at length an issue plaguing America right now. I'm going to read this to you. This is from Nick Golston. Very eye-opening, very thought-provoking, and, you know, really backs up his points. For the first time in 95 years, an American tennis player failed to reach the Wimbledon quarterfinals. The U.S. team did not win a soccer game in the World Cup and really only scored one goal in three games. Before 2004, our men had lost only two Olympic basketball games. They lost three in Athens. Three top picks in the last five NBA drafts were from Italy, Australia, and China. Our baseball team didn't even qualify to go to Athens. And speaking of our national pastime, at the World Baseball Classic this year, the U.S. lost game to Canada, Korea, and Mexico and finished fourth in its four-team pool. Our Olympic men's hockey team stunk it up in Torino, going 1-4-1 and losing its last four in a row. Golf is a sport Americans have dominated for years, but 12 non-Americans have won tournaments in the PGA Tour this year. The top three money leaders in the LPGA Tour are from Mexico, Sweden, and Australia, and there are a whole lot more Kims and Yims and Chungs and Kungs than there are Smiths and Jones playing well on that tour. The Ryder Cup resides in Europe. We've lost the last four of the last five and will be the underdog in Ireland in September. Heck, even the America's Cup is in New Zealand. So how did all this happen? The kids from all over the world have been playing and practicing to get better. Ours are playing video games. That's it. That's all he wrote. That's the end of it. Very thought-provoking and eye-opening. No, it's not! And he calls himself a journalist. Wow. So basically what this is saying is, here, look at all these sports America isn't dominating. It's video games' fault. I'm surprised he didn't, you know, actually say, oh, you know, our kids are playing Grand Theft Auto. What the hell? And, you know, he doesn't leave any contact information, so nobody can talk to him because he knows that he's basically writing this just to get people like me to talk about it and so they could get, like, ad revenue on the site that he posted it on or something. But he acts like none of these other places play video games. I'm sorry. He talks about Korea in here. They play StarCraft. The StarCraft is a national sport in Korea. StarCraft, it's a computer game. It's a video game. And they kick our asses at that, too. So, I mean, what's your thing to that? You know, Koreans can kick Americans' ass in StarCraft, which is a video game. Does that mean that we're not playing video games enough? Durr. Sub-Z says, more like, our best athletes are very well paid, and competitions like this bore them. In other countries, these people live these sports. Tedekin says, yeah, we're America. We're not practicing for some soccer tournament. Screw that. We're busy. Hitstun says that China has to have laws to restrict gaming because they're so heavy into it. So, you know, I thought that this was just absolutely hilarious the way that he's like sitting here. Oh, the answer to all of our problems is to stop our children from playing video games. And I do have a caller on the line. I'm going to go get this call. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
This is Chris Phil.
Hey, man, what's on your mind?
I got actually an opinion about the last story.
Okay.
When I was, it's 3 years ago, 17, I was a fairly good track and field athlete, all state, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Suffered a knee injury.
Okay.
Kind of put me on the shelves for a couple of years. The only thing that, in my book, would have driven me back to sports was if I couldn't find competition anywhere but video games. I can find my competition in video games now, so it doesn't drive me back to sports. So I think what that guy was getting at is, okay, these kids are now finding competition in other things other than sports. Mm-hmm. If they can go, if people in Korea can go and play friggin' StarCraft, then maybe they're taking one or two track and field athletes away from Team Korea because they're playing StarCraft. So I don't think that guy is completely off base, but I'm going to agree with him that, yeah, we're probably losing some of our athletes because, hey, if I'm injured and I can go freaking play Madden at a competitive level without having to get up and at 6 in the morning and go running, then...
Mm-hmm. Why do you have to interject logic and thought into my rant?
I just... It was a real life thing for me.
No,
I would be back running track again if I didn't find Madden or SOCOM 2 back in the day to compete in.
Right.
I would have immediately went, okay, no brainer. I want to go compete again. I'm going to go run track again. But it's kind of really, I want to go, you know, play another sport, but it kind of feels like, what's the point? I just had a very competitive game of NCAA football today. So if I can get that same experience, if I can get my same competitive juices flowing, my general adrenaline going while I'm in my house, why should I go torture myself to train for 6 months to run track for a three-month season?
Right, and, you know, I guess I can see that point, and, you know, I'm, you know, sorry to hear about your injury, and, but...
in the past.
It happens, but,
But I'm just saying, he might not be completely off base, but I still don't completely agree with him. U.S. sports have had problems simply because our athletes just aren't up to par with the other athletes in the world. We're just
or the ones that are the only want to do it for a whole lot of money, and you don't get a whole lot of money playing in the Olympics.
Yeah, and no, I can't blame that. I'm not even gonna say it.
Yeah,
I was gonna say another thing, and I just totally stopped myself.
So what else is on your mind?
Pretty much. I know you're vamping for time, so I'll try and hold on for a little bit longer. I just talked about NCAA football.
Right.
I have it on the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
It's been taking a lot of heat of late just because it doesn't have as full of a feature set as its Xbox or PS2 counterparts.
Right.
But I still feel that the gameplay in NCAA football is so much better than it is in the Xbox and the PlayStation 2 that it's just as good. And not to mention graphics-wise, it's just friggin' amazing they've done with not only the graphics, but player animations and the atmosphere in the stadium is just 10 times better than it was on the Xbox and the PlayStation 2.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the way I feel. Is once I get into a football game in the 360 version of NCAA, it's amazing. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, since I was a big Dynasty player, you know, and I loved going through the Dynasty and, you know, all the magazine colors and, like, all the frills.
Yeah,
I enjoyed all the frills, you know, the create a Heisman mode and all that stuff. That, I feel, is lacking. But once I get into the actual football game, I prefer the 360 by far.
Yeah, I don't have that problem. Like I said, I'm one for competition. I want to get on Xbox Live and
I would probably pick
a very bad team and go take out Ohio State. That'll give me more thrills than winning a fake national championship in Dynasty mode.
Right. Well, see, I can't beat anybody online. So that's why I gotta play my Dynasty games.
Well, while I'm getting back to it, I said I didn't want to get up and run at 7 in the morning, but I'm also going to contradict myself and say, you gotta practice a lot to get good at the games.
Yeah.
So, just totally contradicted my argument if I didn't want to get up and run.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks for calling in, man, and thanks for all the tournament reports.
No problem.
Except for last week's.
Yeah, I know. That was probably not your favorite.
Yeah, I didn't like that one at all.
Yeah, get us saying go blue and go blue.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for calling
in,
man.
Bye.
Chrisville 1724 called in on the Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. One more thing about blaming, because we got to have a blame trifecta here. Gamma Sutra had an interview with Brian Sullivan, who's the co-creator of Age of Empires and is currently working on the PC action RPG Titan Quest. He actually had some very interesting things to say about the current state of the PC gaming industry now. According to Gamma Sutra, as for making a name for themselves in the market, the PC gaming market, Sullivan feels that some of the biggest competition comes from MMOs, not because they are competitors in the genre, but because people simply enjoy playing them so much. Brian Sullivan said, quote, "For retail PC games, I think the biggest problem is World of Warcraft. It is such a compelling MMO game that it sucks up a lot of money and time that would normally be spent on other retail PC games," unquote. Now, what I'm going to, you know, say is I kind of agree with him. I don't, you know, there's not really an easy way to say it, but I do know that when I played Star Wars Galaxies and EverQuest, I played both of those games pretty heavily. I did not play any other game, PC or console. So I can kind of see where he would say that. You know, somebody who has World of Warcraft, they don't need to play any other games because here they are paying like $15 a month to play World of Warcraft, and they feel like they'd be cheating and they'd be, you know, wasting their money if they played another PC game after, you know, after playing, you know, $15 a month. And there are some people that, you know, thank World of Warcraft because they would have probably bought a new PC game every month, but instead of paying $50 for a new PC game, they're only paying the $15 that month for to continue their World of Warcraft subscription. I kind of agree with this a little bit. I mean, you know, and what he's saying is that, you know, it's not, they're not trying to compete because of the game. It's, they're trying to compete because people who are playing PC games, they're only going to play whatever MMO they like. It doesn't have to be World of Warcraft. You know, I guess the retail market for people who are playing games like Half-Life 2 and Prey and Quake 4 or whatever the newest first-person shooter or real-time strategy or anything like that, you know, that market is dwindling of the people who can go pick up a new game, new PC game, and play it. So I want to hear what people in the chat are saying about this. And Broodwitch agrees, says that, you know, that's true. She subscribes to MMOs just to save money, not doing something else. You know, many people play MMOs just to save money a month. Hitstun says that you can't just jump on World of Warcraft for a couple minutes. It doesn't work for short sessions. And Sub-Z says that, you know, it doesn't really have to be just MMOs. He really jumped into Tribes 1 and 2. Those freaking games sucked up at least 2 years of his life. Saint Banana says this is why you should play Counter-Strike instead, because it's free. And it can suck your life up just as much. So, you know, I guess what I want to know is, do people agree that, you know, MMOs and games that, you know, suck you in like this, are they hurting the PC game industry? Or has this always been happening and it's just being amplified now because of the success of World of Warcraft? Because I know people who, you know, played Civilization, whichever Civilization was the most recent one, for weeks on end. No sleeping. You know? Would what about, you know, people who played The Sims? All they do is play The Sims, you know, and so they're not playing any other games. They're playing Sims and they're buying the expansions. Is it going to be like that when Spore comes out? Is everybody going to say, oh, Spore is the great evil in the retail PC industry? So anyway, people can't find their headsets, so I think that it is time to end the show for tonight. That's right. So, thank you all for listening. This has been the 53rd show, but it's been starting tomorrow night. Tomorrow night will be the one-year anniversary. We've been doing this every single weekend. We have not skipped a week, even if we've been out of town or at conventions. I do remember that one time that you know, I came back from a convention. I had staffed an anime convention, and 2 hours later, right after I got home, 2 hours later, I was on the air doing the show. So thank you all for sticking with me, and you know, I really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll be doing this for another year. So that's it for this week. All Games Interactive with Scott Rubin and Lawrence Young is live each and every weeknight from the Arena Interactive Lounge in West Los Angeles at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Pacific, right here on All Games Radio at allgames.com. We will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio, so catch us live and interact with the show directly. Feel free to leave a voicemail with us on any topic or just leave a bumper for use on our show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwell Show. You can also email your thoughts and opinions to me at blackwolf@allgames.com, and you can join our official forums at allgames.com to take part in our community. But every week, we do the same tradition. We read all of the chatters that are in the room. DC Nate, Gita, Hendrix, Necobun, Tedekin, Burning Paper Sun, Broodwitch, D5T, Drunk Pandas, Fifth Dream, GK128, Ichiban, Mako, Oshi, The Matrix, Toshin, Wyland, Bloodshot, Robot, Chrisville 1724, Cidabria, CKY Mike, Fry, Hitstun, Interlogic, Invidious, Who's a Hustler, Just Insane, Kibble, Nitro 2985, OSU Fan 2, Ravager CH on his laptop, Sato, Satan Banana, Sub Z, T27 Duck, THK, Tiger Claw, TrueX, Twinson, VX, Jason XV, and Will Khan. Once again, I do want to thank you all for being with me. Thanks to Sky and Chrisville 1724 for calling in. And here's to another year. Another 364 days of goodness. See you guys next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.
I think I'm here to pick up Barbie Horse Adventures 2 for the Xbox 360. Is that out, sir?
I would like. The game hasn't been released yet.
When is that being released? Can I pre-order that?
I don't think so.
I guess I'll take NCAA instead. Even if I lost my balloon?
Can I pre-order Cabela's African Safari?
Is that anything like Africa with a K for the PS3?
I'm not sure, man.
Does it have giant enemy crabs?
Possibly.
For massive damage if I find its weak spot?
Possibly. Did you want to protect it for the year?
I should continue the PS3 trifecta. Ridge Racer! Okay, I'm going to pay for my game now.